I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. These are the words of the Apostles' Creed, statement of the Christian faith, the very first article, I believe in God, the Creator. Evolution does not. The theory of evolution is a denial of the very first article of the Christian faith. Evolution says, I believe the world came into existence by a great explosion and by natural process. Saving faith in Jesus Christ says, no. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 33:6. Evolution says the world is a product of time and chance. Faith says, no. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are made were not made of things which do appear. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Exodus 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Evolution says, God is not necessary in the world. Faith says, no, for in him we live and move and have our being. Acts chapter 17. Evolution, the theory of evolution, is an all-out attack upon God and the cross of Jesus Christ, and the bride of Christ, the church, receives no part of it to her bosom, lest the church denies God himself. And yet we, who by grace confess that God is the Creator and our Father, and we who walk amid the wonder of the creation, so often don't see. And we ask, where is God? Is there wisdom in the Most High? Can he help me? Where are his promises? How true it is that without the work of the Word and Spirit within our hearts, we are as blind as a bat, dead as a nail and as dumb as an ox when it comes to rejoicing in God and his works. Psalm 104, verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom thou hast made them, all the earth is full of thy riches. When grace, faith, the Holy Spirit, and the Word open our eyes to confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, then we look around us and the whole world, the creation, becomes a chorus of praise. It speaks his wonder, it shouts his power, it declares his wisdom, faithfulness, and care, and we bow down day after day in worship. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, then sings my soul, my God, how great thou art. And then faith mounts up in victory. The Creator is my Father for the sake of Jesus Christ, upon whom I rely entirely. How did the Lord Jesus address anxiety in his disciples? Well, he said in Matthew 6, consider the birds of the air, the lilies of the field, your Father knows. Your Father feeds them, will he not take care of you? He pointed them to the Father Creator. What is the very first word of God brought to the congregation on a morning worship service? Your pastor stands before you after a week of struggle as you come into God's house. Perhaps he says words similar to these. Beloved, our help is in the name of the Lord who has made heaven and earth. What thrills the hearts of the saints in heaven? Well, we read in Revelations 4, that they proclaim, Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy glory they are and were created. And what is the hope that calms us as a child of God and guides us in every difficulty? These words, Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, in which the first shall not be remembered. Faith believes in God, the Creator. The creation witnesses to the glory and to the power of God. The creation was made and is sustained by God's hand to witness of Him. The creation is God's book to tell of Him. And the creation says, "The Lord is great and great in might, and ever stands His name." It's right here that many go wrong. It is right here that unbelief shows its folly. There are many who view the world and say, "It says nothing about God. In fact, the world shouts that there is no God. There is only time and chance." Psalm 14, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." There are others who look at the world and say, "God can't be known. All we can see is the physical. We can touch and smell and hear and taste. But where is God?" And still others say that the world proclaims there are gods, Neptune, Zeus, Allah, and many others today. But faith says the creation's voice is overwhelming. The creation is undeniable in its testimony of the one eternal, self-existent, and true God, Jehovah, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The problem, however, when one does not see this, is spiritual. It is not that the creation is blurred in its testimony, but the problem is in the heart. It is not a defect in the witness of the creation, but in us. It is because eyes do not see and ears do not hear. It is worse. Spiritually, there is a cover-up and there is a suppression of the evidence. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 1 concerning the created things of God, as they testify of God, that the natural man holds this truth down in unrighteousness. The Apostle goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 4 that the denial of creation's testimony is a chosen and a cherished denial. The Apostle says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Systematically, man wants to remove God from the earth and erase the creation's witness. Satan, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, "In whom the God of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them." It's like going to Mammoth Cave, being led blindfolded deep down into a chasm, a beautiful cavern of stalagmites and stalactites. The lights are out and the blindfolds are off, and one sees nothing. Until, "Let there be light," and then one sees. So the power of God, who spoke the light into being in the darkness, is necessary through the Word to speak into our heart. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We need another book than just the creation. We need a clearer book. We need God's holy Word. We read in that holy Word, Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth forth His handiwork." Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6, declare that all of the creation reveals God, that there is no part of it that testifies to a big bang, to evolution, or to blind chance. Planetary motions and gravity and the laws of motion and the circling of galaxies and the rock layers in the Grand Canyon and the shape of a bird's beak in the South Pacific and the color of moths in England hiding from their prey, all of it testifies of God. Not one particle of the creation, not one speck testifies to evolution. We read in Psalm 148 and Psalm 8, "Sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy winds fulfilling His command, mountains, trees, beasts, and creeping things. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent, and His glory is above the heaven and the earth. But we may go a step further. We may say that all of the creation reveals the glory of God all the time. Day unto day, Psalm 19, verse 2, and night unto night showeth forth knowledge. All the time the creation is testifying. When you awake and hear the birds and the light returns, when the clouds move through the sky during the day, you cannot turn off creation, as it always testifies of the great and the inescapable glory of Jehovah. I commend to you a reading of the book of Job in the Bible, the chapters 38 through 40, where God speaks to Job after his severe trial. And God says to Job, "You have been talking about me, and you have wondered about my ways, and you have questioned where I am in your afflictions. I have some questions for you, Job. Have you given the peacock her goodly wings? Hast thou given the horse his strength? Does the hawk fly at thy wisdom? Does the eagle mount up at thy command? Have you entered the treasures of the snow, the icebergs, and the crystal chambers within? Can you bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, the seven sisters? Or can you loose the bands of Orion? Because God is strong in power, not one faileth." This so often shows our blindness. Much of the time we are spiritually asleep and we do not think of the Lord's handiwork, because it's not just our calling to see the beauty, but to see God in everything in the universe, in the spectacular and in the ordinary, in the volcano and in the cloud, in the tiger, in his lightning leap, in the lion's roar, in the snorting and stamping of a horse, and in the worm. But still, it's not enough to say that all the creation, all the time, testifies to God, the Creator. We must deal with the volume of it. The heavens declare, or shout, the glory of God. And then we read in Psalm 19, verse 3, "There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard." The testimony of the sermon to be given in the creation is heard throughout the world. The testimony of this sermon must be translated into Hungarian, or into Tamil, or into Tagalog for those in the Philippines, or into other language. But the testimony of the creation is in every language, in Farsi, in Zulu, in Mandarin, French, in Spanish. And it is not only in every language, but it is loud and clear and sweet. It proclaims, "God made me." The Himalayas and the Andes, the Grand Canyon and Tahiti, the Sahara Desert and Lake Michigan, the daffodil and all the flowers, the marigold, "I was made by Jehovah." The stream of revelation and the witness goes forth all the time, everywhere, to everyone, with a loud voice, so that they all are, without excuse. And there is one aspect of the creation which is common to all mankind. It was made on the fourth day in the creation narrative, Genesis 1, so that a person, regardless of where they live on the earth, their climate and topography, the vegetation, and the exact circumstances in which they live, all hear this testimony. It's the testimony of the sun, of the moon, and of the stars. We read in Psalm 19, that the sun is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a young man to run his race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from his heat. The sun. The sun has been measured by God to the inch, so that we don't burn as on Venus or freeze as on Neptune. God's heat upon the back and the face of a man, bringing him his food from the ground, by which he sets his watch. The moon, by God's power lifting the ocean with tide and lowering it again, and the stars. Genesis 1:16, God made the stars also. We read God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. That's the sun and the moon. And God made the stars also. Yes, that too. Imagine the ceiling being lifted off you and you are transported into a clear desert sky at night and you see the stars. Billions, galaxies, light years away. No measurements are possible for men, some greater than others. Nebula. And then we read, what is man that thou art mindful of him? We read in the Bible, lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number and calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. And now, the most marvelous part. How did God make all of this? And how does God keep all of this? And the answer, by his word. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 33:11, by the word of the Lord, the cattle calve. How? By his word. And God said, let there be light. By fiat. By command. For God is not like you. God need only speak. Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. How does God create? By his own word. He created all things. And why did he create all things? The answer is, first of all, that he might reveal himself to us. Behold your God. Consider who hath made all these things. He is the eternal, existing God, who is the source of all things. God is God, and there is no other beside him. There is but one God, Jehovah, the God of the Bible. He is before the world. Matter is not eternal. Matter is not self-producing and self-sustaining. Matter was made by him. God owes his being to nothing outside of himself. The apostle declares in Acts chapter 17 that he was not made with hands, that God who made the world and all things in them, seeing that he giveth life and breath unto all things. He is not, says the apostle, like unto anything of the earth. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is not a local deity, but he is God. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. That means that he is all-powerful and he is all-knowing. He knows all things because he has made all things, and he upholds them all by the word of his power. He is wise in all of his ways. Science is such a wonderful and noble study for faith. In science and in the creation around us, we see the hidden wisdom of God, intricate, thought out, planned, and devised. God is skilled as no one else. The human body, a beehive, the world of the planets, the insects, atoms, molecules, amoebas, mitosis. In all of these, God shows his wisdom. But there was another reason that God made all things, and that was to reveal a purpose in Jesus Christ. For we read Colossians 1:16, for by Christ all things were created, all things were created by him, and all things were made for him. God made all the world to be the theater to accomplish his eternal good pleasure in Jesus Christ. A good pleasure, says the apostle, Ephesians 1:10, to gather all things together in Christ Jesus. When God stood with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden, he saw another paradise. He saw the darkness of the valley of death, and he saw in that valley a marvelous light called the cross of Jesus Christ. And God made all things for that day when Jesus Christ himself shall come, and a new-born world will be at his command. No sin there, no aging, no death, but body and soul we shall live before God in glory. Don't marvel. Don't say wishful thinking. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Believing this truth, we need not fear. Believing in God, the Creator, my Creator, you need not fear man. Wealthy man, intellectual man, intimidating man. Cease ye from man, Isaiah chapter 2, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Trust in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Don't fear cancer. Don't fear back operations. He will guide you through dangers all, will not suffer you to fall. Don't fear persecution for confessing Christ. Don't fear rejection for believing in Christ. Don't fear anything. If God be for us, who can be against us? Confess your God. Don't fear death. Death poses no problem for God. Death cannot separate us from God. Don't worry. Do not fear. Believe in God the Father, the Creator. But there's one more thing that we must do. Not only is it incumbent upon us to have no fear if we believe that God is our Creator, but it is incumbent upon us to have joy. Yes, fruitful trees and woods and grass and hills and stream, rejoice. And you, chosen of the Lord and precious, rejoice in your Creator and be at peace. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee again for Thy holy word, and we pray that it may be sealed to our hearts by the Spirit in a true and living faith. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.